today on Real Radio.
Watch out for a church or an organization or a group that says you've got to get into heaven our way. I'm saying you can only get into heaven His way. When organizations and men make up rules for you to keep that you can't find in the Bible, it's time to leave.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called My Dear Church with a message titled, My Dear Pergamos, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which is now, of course, modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening today. Some say it's God's judgment upon this earth, while others call it simply a process of evolution. But one thing really is very clear. God is speaking to the world, and you know what? We've got to listen. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as Christians, we can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and think that we're right with God. We decide, after looking at the temptation, whether or not to act upon it. Temptation feeds upon our own desires, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Like the church at Pergamos, we cannot mix worldly cultures with the doctrines of the Bible. And now in his message called, My Dear Pergamos, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Verse 14, but you have a few things, I have a few things against you, says Jesus, because, number one, watch, because you have there those. So you, singular, pastor, you have those who, not all, those, some, who hold the doctrine of Balaam, the practices of Balaam. Well, that's weird. Balaam was a biblical prophet turned prophet for hire. He was called by God, but exchanged his calling in for making a prophet. Does that sound familiar today? What if I stopped this sermon right now and said to you, you need to send millions to me right now for my private jet. I need a private jet to get the gospel out to the end of the world. God sure put the kibosh on that, didn't he? Who needs a jet when you've got the internet? Who needs a jet when you've got the internet? Think of it. Oh, just send money and we'll reach the world. I don't need to send you money to reach the world. Think about what's being said. Think about what's being done. Balaam was a prophet of God who sold his calling to make some money. And Balak was a pagan king. Balaam's the prophet, don't get the names confused, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. So imagine this. The prophet of God was offered money by Balak. Hey, I'll give you money if you can just put a curse on the nation of Israel. No, I can't do that. So then the guy winds up offering him bucks, and he says, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you how to do it, but I won't do it. You're guilty. Balaam, you're guilty. God says you're guilty. So Balak, here's what you do. Send really cute, hot women down among Israel's soldiers, and they're a sucker. They'll fall in love, they'll intermarry, and you'll destroy them. That's the doctrine of Balaam. Intermingle. Do you see now Pergamum? The church that is married? The church that is married, some in the church were not married to Jesus. You see, it could be a great title if you're married to Christ or engaged to Christ. Man, I hope you're getting this. Maybe I'm messing it up, but I'm really excited about this. This is awesome because I'm either engaged to Jesus and I'm waiting for him to show up to take me home, or I'm married to the world. Listen, I'm not married to both. God calls that spiritual adultery. I can't be married to both. I can't have one foot in the world and one foot in church and say, I'm right with God. That's impossible, friend. You can't do that. He says, because you have there are those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balaam how to put a stumbling block before Israel. Listen to this. To eat things sacrificed to idols. You see, that's kind of trivial, isn't it? Nope. Watch this. And to commit sexual immorality. I'll just say it very quickly this way. I want to read something to you as well, but check this out. When you're getting deceived, when these women went down there and said, hey guys, how you doing? Hey, we're just some local girls here. We just think you guys are so strong and you're just so amazing. Listen, you're so, wow, look at those muscles. And you know, you guys, oh, you're so handsome and so smart. You know, I wish my husband was like you. Boy, I wish the men we knew were more like you guys. Oh, you're so, and you know, men, listen, men can bench press more than women, but women can absolutely destroy a man with her words. Especially if they're like the words coming from the tunnel of healing from Pergamum. Oh, hi. Hi, Rocky. You're amazing. You're so something. You're healed. You're the best. And guys that can take down an army just fold up. And Jesus says, I hate that deception. You can deceive people by this type of incantation. The doctrine of Balaam, I read it to you. Balaam was a prophet of God who desired to turn a prophet, get it, from being a man of God. Balaam told King Balak how to get the Israelites to commit sin by enticing them with spiritually approved of sexual immorality. That's what paganism always does, by the way. And foods sacrificed to idols. And this is the hook. The Israelites chose to transgress against God, and so God allowed a deadly plague, a disease, a scourge to come upon Israel as a result of their disobedience, where the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, their thousands were killed by their act. It's amazing. By the way, it's implied that not only was there judgment by God because of their disobedience to God, listen, there was judgment by God because they had sex with people they were not supposed to have sex with. These pagan women had a very, very sensual lifestyle. That's what they were brought up in. And so there's a hint that the Hebrews, who were pure sexually, tainted themselves with various sicknesses and diseases. I wrote myself this note, maybe it blesses you. There will always be temptation, and the one who is the tempter, physically, spiritually, always. But no tempter or temptress can make you sin. You and I decide to sin, and we sin after looking at the temptation. Is this not true? Watch, you look at the temptation, then to think about it just a little bit. Then after we've entertained the thought of it, it's sin, the Bible says. It then sticks in your head. And when that happens, we now have set for ourselves up for a fall. The result will be painful at the least. The Bible tells us that sin does that in our lives. It's a terrible truth. It's a terrible power. And the scripture goes on. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 6, verse 27, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes and not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and not sear his feet? Of course not. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 13, okay, sit down, get ready, take a deep breath, write this down, listen up. James 1, 13 says, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us to drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Man, that's true. That's powerful. The Bible tells us sin kills. That there was no death in the world until sin entered the world. I'd like to read to you a paragraph from Dr. John Wolvered. I quote now regarding the church at Pergamum. A social relationship with the heathen world would lead, in some instances, to partaking of the heathen festivals or pagan holy days. That's the feeding, that's the eating to idols, which in turn led to heathen acts of immorality, which was a great part of idol worship. Based upon Jesus Christ's knowledge of the culture and church, There were some Christians who believed that they were, listen everyone, free to delve into these liberties. However, Christ's absolute condemnation of the doctrine of Balaam as it relates to the church is a clear testimony to the fact that Christians must at all times remain pure and separate from the defilement of the world and its religious and immoral standards. That's an awesome statement by Dr. John Wolvred. You see, they were invited by these honeys, these sweeties, to go to these events. Now, they're already compromised because they instead of obeying God, they let the flesh get involved and they went after these girls. Now they're compromised. They can't think right. You know, listen, a lot of young men, listen, parents, you know this, but your son could be a very sharp guy or your daughter, a very sharp girl. And then they meet someone and you know this, you just don't want to hear it. Then you meet them, you just have a warning. And then all of a sudden, the next day you see them, they're like this. Look, they're like this. So what's wrong with you? Nothing, everything's wonderful. You know what? They crossed the line. The day before the line was crossed. You know that when the girl breaks up with him and he's 16 years old and your son goes into a depressed fit and thinking about killing himself, relationships shouldn't cause that. What happened? Sex happened. That's what happened. It affects the mind. It's emotional. It's powerful. And these women did that to those men. So when those women said, hey, you're going to come to our feast? It's the feast of Zeus in Athena. No, that's okay. I'm a Hebrew. Oh, come on. Oh, you know what? I'll just go and I'll just stand over here with my Pepsi. She goes, okay, fine. They're good with that. Okay, fine. And then you go and then people come. Hey, come on. Take a hit of this. Take a drink of this. Do the other thing. And by peer pressure, you give up. You cave in. And you begin now as a believer, get mixed with the world. It's mixed up. And now you're eating, watch, you're eating pork chops. If you're a Hebrew, you're at the temple of Zeus eating pork chops. You're eating bacon. You're having some lobster. You're doing all this stuff that you're not supposed to do as a Jew. And on top of it, you're drinking these toasts to these gods. They're all idols. They're just dumb idols. They're not real. They're never real. But what it entices and induces, it's always real. It's spiritual. It's dangerous. So, Pastor, you're so strict. Are you kidding? I am so liberated and free, it's ridiculous. You think it's strict because that's how you feel it, smell it, and taste it. The laws of God are awesome, and they're beautiful, beautiful fence. Yes, but they're velvet fences. And they happily keep me in check. I don't have to worry about diseases. I don't have to worry about scandal. I don't have to worry about that. I'm free. Are you free? You're never free if you're at the worship altar of pagans. It'd get you every time. Verse 15, thus you also have those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We don't need to belabor this, simply this, that the Nicolaitans was a ministry style where the disciples of Nicholas lorded their authority over the people. They controlled the people. And God says, I hate that. Watch out for a church or an organization or a group that says, you've got to get into heaven our way. You say, Jack, isn't that what you're doing all the time? No. I'm saying you can only get into heaven his way. When organizations and men make up rules for you to keep that you can't find in the Bible, it's time to leave. It's time to get out of there. And Jesus says, I hate that stuff. And then thirdly, we got to end. Verse 17, God writes them the letter requiring them to be encouraged. To be encouraged. To be prepared. To be in the truth. Be encouraged. Verse 17, notice, this is powerful. Verse 17, that the Lord ends with an olive branch extended to this church that had allowed some of its members to become polluted, and the pastor knew about it. And that angel, that pastor, was to address those who had become compromised for the welfare of the rest of the church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church. What a beautiful invitation. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. We don't have to guess what that is either. John chapter 6, the Bible tells us, Jesus announces that he is that manna that came down from heaven. He said, why is it hidden? Because unbelief hides Christ from you. Hidden manna, treasured manna, not normal manna. Manna wasn't normal to begin with. It came down from heaven. But Jesus said in the wilderness, wanderings of Israel in the desert, that manna that came down sustained you every day. Jesus said, ha, listen, Moses didn't give you that. My Father gave you that bread. But you know what? The ultimate bread he sent down forever and ever is, look at this, Jesus must have gone like this, is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the hidden manna. He doesn't have to be hidden, but he's there. By the way, Jesus has always been near you, pagan, godless, atheist, agnostic, spiritist, whatever you are. God's always been near you in Christ Jesus, always near. Don't be associated with him, though, by proximity. Invite him in to possess your life, because something's going to possess your life. Be encouraged, the Spirit is speaking. Be encouraged, he offers you the bread of life. Verse 17 goes on and says, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. What a remarkable statement, church. Listen to this, and I have to end. Jesus said, I will give him a white stone. This is awesome. In antiquity and in various cultures all around the world. It's pretty cool. And by the way, in the Old Testament, the priest had the Urim and the Thummim, the white stone and the black stone. But that's just a side note. In Pergamum, what's with the white stone? How does that relate? Because Jesus spoke to their culture. Transactions and court proceedings. Watch this. If you were charged with a crime, you were accused and you were charged with a crime and you're now appearing for sentencing. If someone stepped up and appeased the courts of the world, that in other words, I understand that my friend's guilty of not wearing a face mask in public. And he got a ticket and he's gonna go to jail for 6 weeks. But I tell you what, I'm gonna write the city a check for $10,000 dedicated to buying face masks. And I promise you, I'll take care of my client. And the judicial system says, we'll take the 10 grand, you're free to go. The judge would extend his hand and watch, he would drop into your hand a white stone. Sometimes it was a diamond, by the way, in some cultures, diamonds. But listen, as much as that was precious, that wasn't the point. The white stone is not the black stone. The white stone's the white stone. But look what your Bible says. What makes it very valuable to the Christian is what's written on it. Let's be honest. Who cares how many white stones you have? It's irrelevant. What makes it valuable is what's written on it. Look in your Bible right there. It's what is written on it. And the Bible tells us that a new name is written on it. Listen, you're not only removed from your past shame and guilt, but Jesus Christ took your sin and nailed it to his cross. The Bible says by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible says that God is going to give you a new name. You guys, I'm so glad about that because number one, my name's Jack. It's ridiculous, Jack. You say, no, your name's a nickname, right? No, it's actually a real name. I'm named after my uncle, and my dad's nickname was Jack. So my uncle's name was Jack, but my dad's nickname was Jack. You say, no, your name's John, right? On your passport, it's John, like it's John Hibbs. Oh no, I wish. It's Jack, and I'm not even going to tell you my middle name because God's going to change that one. But my first name, it's truly Jack. That's my legal name. Jack what? Oh man, that's jacked up. I don't like that. Hi, Jack. Doesn't sound good. Jack is a type of equestrian group of four-legged animals. I'm not interested in that. God's going to give me a new name. In fact, he's already given me a new name. I'm going to get it. I'm going to see it in heaven. What about you? Do you have a new name? And with the passing of the old name goes all of the guilt, all of the shame, all the association. Gone. New name, new life. What a glorious God we serve. What an awesome God we have. And I end with this. Revelation 3:12 announces to us there, I will write, look at that. He who overcomes, Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Different passage, but listen. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Watch, I will write on him the name of my God. Somewhere on every believer marked is the name of God. And what does that mean? It means ownership. So you, my friend, are either owned by the world. If you are a Christian and you live for pot, you live for money, you live for power, you live for sex, you live for spiritual reasons, you are a Christian in label and title, but you're guilty of committing crimes against the God of Christianity. You'd get a black stone. But if today you can say, man, I live right down the street from that black house, 666 Devil Lane. I live where Satan's seat is. It's hard to be a Christian. Can we all just say amen to that? Hallelujah, amen. Yes, it is. Thank God. Because you know what? Yeah, you know what? Southern California is beautiful, but there's a lot of people who say they're Christians, and they're in the world and they love it. There's people, listen, I end with this, we're all done. There's people who, they don't care if they ever come back to church again. Their habits were broken, they'll never be back. Then there are people who are now saying, I've never been, but I'm never gonna stop once I get a chance to go back. And then there are people who are just like, I'm hanging on, I was there, I'm there now, I'll be there in the future, I'm just gonna, and that's God's people. You're hanging on to the word of God, you got the sharp, two-edged sword of the word of God in your life. Jesus is living, his throne and the place where he dwells is in you. So stop with this picture. We'll stop with this. Walking all around Pergamum would be you and I as followers of Christ. Where Satan's seat is, where Satan's throne is with all these pagan temples. But inside of our heart, by faith in Jesus Christ, he's enthroned in us. And he guides and controls us. That's how you and I can live in a pagan culture and not have to compromise, because the Spirit of God in you is your power. Trust Christ today. If God is speaking to you, call out to him. Pray. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead. He didn't do that to make you some wimpy kind of believer and some insignificant presence. He's transformed your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called My Dear Pergamus, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we can break free from chaos. And in his strength, we can find peace and refuge for our weary souls. My Dear Pergamus, I've Written You a Letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church, a series that's taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, God's Word is alive, thankfully, and powerful, and reproduces the nature of Christ in us. But if our spirit is weak, like the church at Pergamos, the things of this world really can overtake us and cause us to stumble. So if you're not really growing and moving in the things of God and you need some help, we have the perfect tool to get yourself on track. The Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet gives you instant access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. There's devotions for your quiet time, previous broadcasts of Real Radio, Bible sermons and podcasts if you're in the car or on the go. You can also watch Pastor Jack's YouTube channel or go to his Facebook page for some inspiration and important updates. The Real Life mobile app. It's available at the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.